Aminata Forna explores the delights and challenges of the short story in today's open book. That's in an hour here on BBC Radio 4, after the third and final part of our classic serial, which is a new adaptation of a powerful piece of 18th century literature. Arthur Darvill stars in this earthy, visceral and sometimes disturbing satire on human nature.
Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. Adapted for radio by Matthew Broughton. Episode 3. The Voyage to Laputa. Balnibari. Lugnag. Glubdrubdrib. Japan. And to the country of the Hoonahims. We live in an age of cynicism, and yet there is so much in this world that can still surprise us. Please, put your doubts to one side and listen, without judgment. These events concerning Dr. Gulliver are honestly told. This is a true story.
Did I hear correctly? The story of the next voyage is much darker.
Once you have heard it, sir, you will never be able to unhear it.
Oh, no, I'm not a drinker.
To steady your nerves, sir, for the horrors that are to come.
That evening at Redriff was already a long one. Through a remarkable box that held his voice, I heard Gulliver tell the tale of his voyages to Lilliput and Brobdingnag. In the former, he was a giant among human creatures, each no more than a foot in height. They lived in a world of petty politics endured with deadly seriousness. Despite unsavory elements, the tale was diverting, all the better for being true. I felt our readers would enjoy it. In Brobdingnag, Gulliver was in a land of giants. This was an unsettling story, a world both terrifying and disgusting to Gulliver. He was lucky to escape with his life. I had had an idea, a suggestion as to how we might present the stories that I believed would make them commercially successful. I hoped Gulliver would see the lucrative sense of my recommendations too. But I had yet to meet him face to face. Gulliver will speak to me in person tonight, won't he?
Not until you have heard the last voyages, sir. Or else, never.
If I knew then what I know now, I would have left the house at that moment. The servant manipulated the silver lever on the machine. And again, like a minor miracle, the voice of Gulliver emerged.
I had been home from Brobdingnag about 10 days when my friend Captain William Robinson offered me a post on his ship, the Hopewell. After Brobdingnag, I was unsettled, and the offer was tempting.
You're all fed? What's the matter with you?
They're restless again.
Like they sense something coming.
I'm a stranger to them. It disturbs them.
No. They remember you.
Beautiful creatures. Hey, shh. It's all right. Mary.
You're going to go away again, aren't you?
The money is twice the usual salary.
Don't do this.
You have to understand.
You've not been back 2 weeks.
It will be advantageous for the children's future. And yours. That's my priority.
You're not fit to go anywhere.
What else am I good for?
My darling, you need to rest your tired head. Stay with us. Be a husband, a father. Let us love you.
You're very kind to me.
I'm your wife. Anyway, You're the most unlucky traveller. You're a disaster, my sweetheart. No more gambling with your life, please. Let's be happy together now, here, at home.
I know you're right, but...
Good. Because I forbid you from going back to sea, and that's the last word on the matter.
I'm sorry, Mary. I'm sorry.
We set sail on the 5th of April, 1706, heading towards the islands of Tonquin, and at first, all was well. Until we were chased and overcome by two pirate ships. None survived that day. Except for me. The captain commanded me to flee for help moments before the attack. I made my escape in a small boat. I cannot describe the pain I felt for the loss of my friends, or the guilt. I took a straight course. I didn't know where I was or going. Mary was right. I was a disaster. But I reached a rocky, uncharted island within 3 hours. In no time, I explored this small, charmless, barren place. I was alone. Only my melancholy for company. Each day on the island was long and banal. And each night I retired to a cave, using grasses as my bed, where I found little comfort. I prayed for myself and those I loved. And give Mary strength. Amen. Good night, my Mary. The weeks trickled by. My despondency grew. It seemed these were my last days on Earth. Then, one morning, on the beach, I felt it before I saw it. A chill. Everything darkened. And there it was, moving toward me. A gigantic thing. I could see there were people going up and down the sides of it. It was inhabited.
Hey! Hey! Over here!
This floating island was rising and falling as it moved across the sky. An incredible sight. It was an entire city, an entire country.
Please don't leave me here!
It stopped directly overhead. A face on the lowest level looked at me.
What do you want? I need to get off this place!
He threw down a looped chain with a seat attached.
Sit in that!
I did, and was pulled up into the heart of this island.
What is this place?
Laputa.
May I meet the king?
What for?
But I'm a traveller of some rank in my own country. It is customary for
Sorry,
me to...
who do you want to meet?
The king.
This way.
He took me to a staircase. Then we walked back to where we started.
Where are we going?
To see the king.
Well, we need to go to the staircase over there.
What? Where we just were?
What?
At first I thought Laputians were lazy and moronic.
I notice there are geometric shapes carved into your architecture.
Why am I talking to you?
I need to see the king.
But they were remarkably intelligent. Their minds were fixed on higher things, and the everyday stuff of life passed them by.
I give up. Where are we going? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the king.
They were intellectuals.
The king.
Afternoon.
It is a great honor for me to...
Sit down. Eat.
The king seemed distracted. He closed his eyes and sighed. Everyone sighed in Laputa. It was very rude.
And who are you?
Gulliver,
sir.
This food is most unusual.
The mutton was cut into the shape of an equilateral triangle. The beef, a rhomboid. The pudding, a cycloid. The sausages resembled flutes.
Oh, the food. Hmm. Scientific precision with a musical theme.
I'd love to learn more about your country.
Yeah, I'm far too busy. Things to think about. Courtier, who is the most ignorant person at court?
Lady Minaudi, Your Majesty.
Yeah. Tell her to deal with this man. Lady Minaudi will show you around and answer questions. I'm really not interested in you at all.
Yes, sir.
I can see that.
Good afternoon. Lady Minaudi. Me, not you. Afraid I'm incredibly ignorant. Totally useless.
I'm Gulliver. Gulliver. Can you remember that?
Of course. Gulliver. Traveller. I'm here to give you the guided tour.
Oh, a pleasure to meet you, Lady Minaudi.
You too. I'm sure you have millions of questions. Obviously, I'm an idiot, but I'll do my best to answer them. Let's go.
By Laputian standards, she may have been unintelligent. But to me, she was delightful.
Those are the public lavatories. I'm afraid there's not much to show. See one bit and you've seen it all.
Why is everyone so distracted here?
Well, it's hard to get a conversation out of a learned man, isn't it? They're always disputing and dissecting everything. Oh, must be tremendous to be a thinker, no? I'm not a thinker, Gulliver. I barely have an opinion on anything.
How does this island float?
Something to do with magnets.
And what is the island for?
Why, it's where we live. We travel over His Majesty's kingdoms, supervising, sometimes stopping to lower baskets so the people can offer up their tributes to the king, wine, foods, taxes, flowers, that sort of thing.
And if the people below decide that they don't want to give the king what he wants?
Has happened. The king hovers over them to deprive them of sunshine and rain, and if he gets bad, like it did during the Lindolino rebellion a few years back, the king orders we drop down and squash them. Splat! And I shouldn't laugh. Completely destroyed them, actually. Awful. It's not so pleasant living here.
I'm beginning to see that.
I don't like it. But who am I? Shall we venture onto a balcony? That country is Balnibarbi, and the city is Legado.
It looks terribly deprived.
The people are starving, and the city is falling apart.
There's no one helping them.
Not really. On the one hand, there's politics. It's not easy to get them food the right shape. And on the other, the king doesn't believe in conventional geometry anymore.
What are those strange bowls on sticks with holes?
Houses.
They are ugly and impractical.
I don't like them either. But who am I?
Well, they're actually falling down.
Yes.
Is there anything in Balnibarbi of interest?
With the Grand Academy. Terrific hotbed of creativity where all of our greatest inventions are born.
May I see? I've had enough of being up here on Laputa.
There are a number of suites here, Gulliver, and in each one a different project.
What sort of projects?
Ideas and inventions to make modern life easier and more efficient. Interesting chap, this one.
He was a thin man with sooty hands and face. His hair and beard long, ragged and singed in several places.
What's your project, sir?
8 years I've been doing this.
Doing what?
Using explosives to extract sunbeams out of cucumbers.
Pardon?
So people can use them to keep warm during the cold weather.
Oh, and, are there any sunbeams in cucumbers?
I haven't found any yet.
Oh.
It struck me that this invention was based on a false premise.
This next one is a labour-saving idea.
A woman was ploughing a field using pigs.
I've buried acorns 6 inches apart. Pigs go nuts for them. They root them up and then the soil is fit for sowing.
Eh, see?
Could you not have ploughed the field when you planted the acorns?
I didn't think of that.
Instead of labour saving, this invention created more work.
This next fellow has invented a new way of making fine clothing.
He had employed 1,000 spiders making webs.
Worms make silk, don't they? Spiders make fine thread. Look at these web gloves. Quality. Try them on.
I'm terribly sorry. They've fallen apart.
Right. Well, we ought to...
Careful where you tread. You nearly squashed one of my best spinners. Freddy, are you okay?
This invention was entirely ineffective, utterly impractical, and rather unsettling.
Are these professors out of their senses?
It's invaluable work, Gulliver. Come on, lots more to see.
And then we went into the Yellow Room. The stink was horrible.
Try to ignore it. Mm-hmm. He'll take offence.
Oh, how wonderful to see people.
This inventor was an ancient man. His face and beard were pale yellow. His hands and clothes were daubed over with filth.
Let me hug you.
He embraced me. Nuzzled his face into my breast.
I've not had a visitor for so long.
What's your project, sir?
I'm reverting human excrement to its original food. It's quite fiddly, but I'm very hands-on.
My God.
I get an allowance of excrement from the society. Get a lungful of this muck. Great stuff.
His supply was contained in a place the bigness of a Bristol barrel.
Had much luck so far?
Results are mixed, if I'm honest.
Why do this?
To lessen waste and increase food supplies.
But who would want to eat this? Really?
Oh, come on. Smell it.
Are you okay, Gulliver?
It struck me that this invention was unhealthy, degrading, and utterly vile.
I need to go outside.
What's the matter?
This is where great intellect and scientific creativity has got you. These projects...
You don't like them?
They're ill-judged. Impractical, inexact, without benefit, degrading, vile, messy, pointless, academic, unsettling, a complete waste of time, and totally silly. Do they get funding for these projects?
Yes, of course.
Then they are also immoral. People are starving out there.
I know. But what can you do?
Melody, I want to go home. I want to go home.
Europe is accessible from Japan. You'll find passage on a ship there. But to get to Japan, you need to get to Lugnag. You can only get a boat to Japan from Lugnag.
Fine.
But to get to Lugnag, you need to get a boat to Lugnag from here.
Fine.
There aren't any till next Tuesday.
So I'm stuck in this hole while I wait.
Or we could go to the island of Glubdubdrib for a few days. Pass the time.
Glubdrib? Drab.
Glubdubdrib. You will love it. Terrific people, the Glubdubdribians. And Glubdubdrib is atmospheric. It'll be a real experience for you. We can hop over on the Glubdubdrib ferry and come back in time for the Lugnag boat on Tuesday. What do you say? Glubdubdrib?
Anywhere but here.
We had been on the ferry less than a few minutes when a dense mist descended. We moved at a dead pace. Then Minodi told me something she'd forgotten to mention.
Of course, the most interesting thing about the people of Glubdubdrib is that they're a tribe of magicians.
Magicians?
Supernatural.
Oh, of course. There would be.
We were invited to the mansion of the governor of Glubdubdrib.
M'lady. Sir.
The governor is expecting us.
M'lady. Sir.
I think we're to follow him.
Right.
The long corridor smelt of sulfur, and there was a chill breeze. The servant was tall, heavy, his skin ashen, flaking.
Lovely old building, isn't it?
Are you sure we're meant to be here?
Well, the governor insisted.
We reached a room. The servant pointed inside.
M'lady. Sir.
A table was set for dinner.
The governor always lays on a good spread.
I do hope we're not the supper.
That's fairly unlikely.
Welcome.
Good evening, Governor.
Where did you come from?
Welcome, Lady Minodi of Laputa and Lemuel Gulliver of England. Join me. For dinner, we're having meat served with meat.
I do like meat.
I've never met a real magician before.
I am a necromancer. Let us dine. Food. Food. Food!
What I saw next made my flesh creep with horror. Servant spectres crept through the walls. Supernatural entities fresh from the world of the deceased, they came to serve us our meal. A necromancer had discovered. Has the power to call the dead to serve him. Bodies in decay, smelling sickly sweet, their heads bowed.
Eat.
Marvellous.
What type the meat was, I could not tell. I could barely touch it.
Not hungry, Gulliver?
It looks very good.
Minodi.
Oh, delicious. Mm.
Sir, my appetite is...
Don't refuse my hospitality, Gulliver.
I ate the meat. It glistened in the candlelight. Later, Minodi had gone to bed. The governor asked me to drink wine with him.
I can converse with anyone who has passed to the other side.
Anyone?
The greats of history. Aristotle, Descartes, Hannibal, Caesar, Alexander the Great. Or perhaps you would prefer to begin with the eminent from the history of your own country.
What an opportunity. The chance to meet those I respected and hear them talk directly. The moral and upstanding. Those who made me not only proud to be an Englishman, but proud to be human.
I'd like that very much.
One warning. These ghosts can speak only the truth here.
And so I met them. The greatest names of our national past. And before long, I was disgusted and sickened. I spoke to a famous general.
I have been awarded many honors, but achieved all my victories through cowardice and ill conduct.
An admiral?
I betrayed the fleet for treasures.
A king?
Never in the whole of my way did I once prefer any person of merit. The throne could not be supported without corruption. Virtue is a clog to public business.
These people were the moral backbone of my country. But everyone revealed their infamy.
Perjury, oppression, iniquity, fraud. This was not a roll call of the good. But the bad.
More?
My faith in humanity was shaken. But I had not quite given up hope.
Where are the virtuous? May I meet them?
I will call them.
Sir?
What kind of a man were you?
I did my best to serve my country and my family, sir.
You wear rags?
I died on the scaffold.
But you were a virtuous man.
It did me no good, sir. Against a corrupt judge and jury.
He wasn't alone. One after another, they stood before me.
The publisher printed lies about me. I lost my faith and took to gin. An outcast, I died in poverty.
My monies were stolen by a financier.
I was killed in a holy war serving an indifferent monarch.
I was sold into slavery by my uncle, a man of the church. My virtue was taken, and then my life. God turned against me. God.
Vice and corruption had murdered England.
Nobody cares, sir!
The gibbet saw my head!
From the first well of prayer.
Death took me in a home.
What hope was there?
Took me in a
I was
home.
Murdered from the first well to death.
Who next? Who do you want to meet next, Gulliver?
No more. No more. No, no more. Everything I thought true was untrue. Virtue was never rewarded. Evil was in control. My faith in humanity was dead. My faith in God was lost. We caught the boat to Lugnag and waited there for passage to Japan.
I'll miss you. Not many speak to me here.
No.
Gulliver?
Are our lives simply absurd? Is there no hope of happiness?
Gulliver.
I want my wife.
In Japan, I took part in a ceremony where I trampled on a crucifix. I can't remember why, and after all, it doesn't matter. But it enabled my passage to England. Nothing worth mentioning happened on this long journey, except my despondency clung to me like a succubus. I arrived home on the 16th of April, 5 years and 6 months after I had left.
The children have grown, haven't they?
Yes.
Shall we talk about what you saw?
No.
What do you want?
To go to my bed. With you.
Then we shall.
Was I nothing more than an animal? A beast. In Lilliput, I saw how pathetic society was. In Brobdingnag, how disgusting the human body. In Laputa and Balnibari, I found intellectual bankruptcy. And in Glubdubdrib and Lugnag, spiritual desolation. What was left for me? I had to get away again. And then I was offered the captaincy of the Adventurer. We set sail on the 7th day of September, 1710. And at first all was well, but beyond Barbados, my crew mutinied to take the ship and cargo. I was a fool to think anything other could have happened. They left me with my hangar and a little money.
and got rid of me at the first land they discovered. Along a path, I found tracks. I was not alone. The marks were of human feet, cows, but mostly of horses. Then, I saw strange animals in a field, some sitting in trees. Several moved towards me. Curious. Their heads and breasts were covered in thick hair. They had beards like goats and a long ridge of hair down their backs. The rest of their bodies were bare, revealing brown, buff skin. They had no tails and often stood on their hind legs. They climbed into the trees using their claws to hook themselves. The females were smaller and their dugs hung down. I had never beheld so disagreeable an animal, nor one which I naturally conceived so strong an antipathy. I moved away, along the path. But one of the creatures blocked my way.
Out of my way!
It went to touch me.
You heard me!
I struck him across the jaw. A herd of the beasts flocked about me fast.
Away from me!
Surrounded, I retreated, moved to a tree and stood with my back against it. They followed.
Back, I say, or taste my blade!
I waved my hanger. It did not deter them. Several leapt up into the tree and began to discharge their excrements on my head. I was almost stifled with filth that fell every side of me.
You hideous beasts! Do your worst! What is it? Lost your courage? What? Have you finished with me?
Suddenly, they all took flight, frightened. And then I saw that a horse was in front of me. It looked me up and down.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Did you just speak? Did you just speak?
Of course. Did you?
But I... Did you just speak?
Is he talking? Appears to have a rudimentary grasp of language based on repetition.
Most unusual.
Unlike other yahoos, he has a kind of material on his legs and torso.
His skin is very soft, too.
Gentlemen, I see that you must be conjurers. I am nothing more than a poor, distressed Englishman. May I ride on your backs to some house or village where I can be helped?
He looks like a yahoo, but doesn't sound like one.
Yahoo or not, he is remarkable.
What is a yahoo?
He says yahoo.
I'll take him back to the house. Worth investigation.
Yes.
I'm going to take you where you can clean yourself. Do you understand me? Yahoo.
Thank you, sir.
He led me to a long building made of timber.
Is the master of the house here?
I am the master of the house.
The man, I mean.
I do not know what man means. This is a house of hoonams.
There were three nags here and two mares, sitting on their hams eating. I wondered if this was more necromancy.
Why bring a yahoo into the house?
It's unusual.
A yahoo is a yahoo.
Perhaps.
Introduce him to the one in the yard. See what he does.
I was taken into a courtyard and shown one of the creatures I'd seen in the field. The master ordered the creature untied and brought to face me.
New yahoo. This is our pet yahoo.
Why do you give us the same name?
Look at him.
I did look. And I began to see. In horror and astonishment.
This abominable animal was a perfect human figure. Its paws were hands like mine, only with longer fingernails. Our feet and legs differed only in that mine were covered by shoes and stockings. This Yahoo was a man. And I was Yahoo.
Back to your food, boy.
I am not like him.
No?
We look alike. I agree, but I am not a savage. And never shall be.
Then you must prove that. Are you hungry? Would you like flesh, Yahoo?
I'd like milk and bread. And my name is Gulliver.
We'll get you what you want. Whatever you are, Gulliver, you are not a lost cause.
With instruction, I began to learn the Hunahim way.
We are rational creatures, Gulliver. And benevolence and friendship are the two principal virtues among us. A stranger from the remotest place is treated the same as a neighbor. Decency and civility are our highest qualities, and both are practiced without ceremony. Our young are taught temperance, industry, exercise, and cleanliness. They provide a life of quality. And when we die, we are old, and our lives are complete. This is our world, and it precludes the Yahoos.
The Hunahims were goodness. They didn't even have a word in their language to express a falsehood, because nobody in the country of the Hunahim ever lied. Instead, they used the phrase, "You have said the thing that is not." It was a mark of their honesty.
We live a simple life.
I came to call him Master. We walked together, and I listened to his every word.
But the Yahoos are vile and dangerous, and threaten our peace. There is only one question that we are undecided upon.
What, Master?
Whether all the Yahoos should be wiped off the face of this earth or not.
Part of me agreed they should be. It is what my voyages had taught me. I washed often. I didn't want any Yahoo smell on my skin. I ate simply, took honey from the hollow trees and mixed it with water to eat with my bread. I swam daily and exercised. Months passed in the benevolent company of my master. Since I had been in this country, I had enjoyed perfect health of body and tranquility of mind. I did not feel the treachery of inconstancy from a friend, nor the injuries of a secret or open enemy. I experienced no oppressions whatsoever, no censurers or backbiters, no fops, bullies or drunkards, no ranting or pedantry, no vices. There was no physician to destroy my body, no lawyer to ruin my fortune. There was no need of money. It really was happiness.
You have something to say, Gulliver?
Master, I have a love for the inhabitants of this place that I didn't think possible. I do not wish to return to humankind, but to pass the rest of my life here, among Hunahims.
This matter is not within my power. I must take your case to the Assembly for judgment. If they allow it, then you may stay.
The Assembly?
It's in a few months. So, you must tell me everything about yourself and your homeland, Gulliver. When I present your case, they will want every detail.
I began by telling him about how I came to be in the country of the Hunahims.
Why did they take your ship?
For its price and cargo.
Why would men behave in such a way?
Because it is their nature.
I told my master about the war my country had fought.
Men died before old age.
1 million were killed.
And the innocent die.
Always.
The only animal we know capable of actions so vile are the Yahoos.
I explained money.
Most people earn only a small amount.
And can barely afford to eat.
But some earn much more. Do they work harder?
No.
Do people save for when times are hard?
They spend freely when they have it, and they borrow when they don't.
The Yahoos have a natural bent for avarice. I have seen them fighting over the shiny stones in some fields.
I told my master how we drank liquor to banish our fears, and how it causes the English to reel about the streets fighting and vomiting.
The Yahoos chew certain juicy roots with similar effect.
I told him about disease and illness, politicians, religion, the nobility. Everything.
You once told me that while you resembled a Yahoo, you were not a savage beast. Do you still believe that?
I hope not. But I don't know.
You have made progress?
One morning, the master sent for me early.
The time has come. Today I attend the assembly. I will present your case and it will be discussed. I'll return before the end of the day with a verdict, Gulliver.
I went to the pond to swim. Was I a Yahoo or had I risen above it? Oh, that day waiting for my master to return. It was a day of sunshine. I was naked in the hot sun and cool water. I was in the shallows when I saw her, standing on the bank. A young female Yahoo, inflamed by desire. It happened very quickly. She ran at speed into the water, lurching forward. I couldn't move, couldn't get away. She got me fast, grappled and wrestled, embraced me hard. Her naked body tight on mine, tight on me, tight, tight.
No, 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 no!
She tore at my hair and flesh in passion, scratched and enfolded herself around me, bit, pinched and forced me, and I couldn't escape her mad grasp and I couldn't help responding.
Gulliver!
My master's neighbour heard us.
Get off him!
Afraid, the female Yahoo quitted her grasp and fled, left me bleeding in pain, ashamed.
She wanted you. And she had you. Eh?
The female Yahoo saw me for what I was. No matter how I tried to train my mind, no matter how I adhered to a rational life in every limb and feature and in my basest impulse, I could not deny it. I was the lowest beast. I was a Yahoo.
You'll be eager to hear the verdict of the assembly. I presented your case at length.
What did they say, Master?
They listened and asked if there were any Huniums living in England. You told me once that there were. known as horses.
I did.
And how you treated them? With riding, castration, and other abuses?
I only tell you the truth, Master.
Yes. The Assembly asked many questions. They fear you. They say you are a brute Yahoo. This is undeniable.
Yes.
They wanted you to swim back to your country of origin. I asked for time, that we might build you a canoe.
Thank you. Goodbye, madam.
Goodbye, Gulliver.
My eyes were flowing with tears.
Goodbye, Gulliver.
Master, I don't want to go.
It has been decided.
But there can be an appeal. The decision can be reversed. There must be something we can do.
The judgment of the Assembly is final.
Please, Master, I beg you. I will do anything. I could be your pet. I could.
No, Gulliver. You must leave.
I got into my canoe. A poor Yahoo. Banished from the land of Hunems. After some hours, I came upon a Yahoo ship from Portugal, and although I fought them, the seamen pulled me aboard. I was disgusted in their company, their smell. At the first chance, I tried to jump over the side to swim away. But I was prevented from doing so, taken into a cabin and chained to a bed. I was visited there by the captain, Pedro de Menez. I told him briefly what had happened. He listened and nodded and smiled kindly.
So, you have been thrown out of paradise. I am sorry for you. I will make you comfortable here and take you back to Lisbon. And from there, we will find you passage to London.
I'm not going back to live with Yahoos.
But there was no choice. It was time to go. We cast anchor in Downs in the south of England on the 5th of December, 1715. And from there I went directly to Redriff, where my wife and family were waiting for me.
Lemuel!
Get back! Get away from me! Stay away! Vile witch! Savage Yahoo! Oh, your hideous lips scald me whore! Your spittle burns my skin!
Please,
leave this place, you stench bitch!
You're not making sense!
I'm the only one making sense! Take your horrendous body and pungent odours away from me!
You don't know what you're saying!
No!
My children!
They're Yahoo rats! All of them! Rats! Rats! Young rats! Curse humanity! Where a filth-daubed Yahoo female gives suck to her rodent offspring. Look at what you are! You're unclean! All of you! Do not presume to come into my sight again.
I have given you a faithful history of my travels of 16 years and 7 months. Here ends the story.
Mr. Simpson. Mr. Simpson?
Yes?
Are you ready to meet Dr. Gulliver now?
Now.
It's time.
If it's all the same, I think I'd rather leave now.
No, sir. You made a choice to hear all of the voyages. And now you must meet my master.
But
I wouldn't disappoint him if I were you.
Gulliver was a man who had become a monster, who hated his fellow man. And now I was to meet him. To be honest, I was scared out of my bloody wits.
Bloody hell.
Richard Simpson!
Dr. Gulliver!
You heard my voyages.
I have, sir.
You shall be my publisher.
Yes.
Good. Goodbye.
Sir, I have a suggestion.
Speak.
The stories of Lilliput and Brob Dingnag are charming, sir. I think if we were to reform both of these voyages and turn them into children's fairy tales, books aimed at perhaps the Christmas market, I believe that they will be very popular.
And the other voyages? Laputa, Balnabari, Lugnag, Glubdubdrib, Hunehimland.
I think they are too dark for our readers.
You dare suggest that I bastardize my two lesser works so that nannies can read them to their rats and throw my major works away, all for the sake of commercial popularity?
Oh, you make a lot of money.
I did not write them for money! I wrote them for the good of mankind.
I reject your suggestions.
No one will buy books that are depressing.
These books will be read.
They won't.
They will reform the Yahoo race in this kingdom!
No, get off me, sir. It's impossible.
It is well known through all Hunehimland that by the instructions and example of my illustrious master, I was able to remove my infernal habits of lying, deceiving, and equivocating so deeply rooted in the very souls of all my species.
I may be a base Yahoo, but I strive to be better than I am. And now, my book will do the same for everyone else.
But we can make a fortune. They'll make Gulliver dollies. Every child will know the stories. They'll laugh at your adventures. We'll edit the books so they're small and elegant. They'll sell like hotcakes. People will be queuing the streets for your signature. Don't you see what you have here?
I will not say the thing that is not. People must know. I will not have a word changed, nor one omitted. The book must change the world. The Hunehim way of life must prevail. Truth. Truth. The truth. The truth. The truth. The truth must triumph. Promise me. Promise me! Uncensored! 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 What have you said to it?
Only sense!
Calm yourself, sir. Yes, sir. Calm yourself. Good boy. Good boy. Good boy.
What's happened to him?
Good boy.
What is this?
Don't you understand? He has seen the world as it is. He is a great man. He has understood the truth of the world, and you must present his truth correctly. Promises. Promise it.
There. There, sir.
Okay.
Gulliver's books remained unpublished for some time, but came into my possession after he was admitted to a madhouse. I read the books over and over,
in spite of their brutality and ugliness. I saw that they were well-intentioned. Not cruel. I began to understand that they did indeed come from a pure heart. Gulliver was a gentle man who wanted to help his fellows. It is time the voyages were heard. They will be published in full. No word omitted. They will not be censored. Gulliver went mad for all of us. This is a true story. Yes. This is a story about truth. In episode 3, Gulliver was played by Arthur Darvill. Richard Simpson was played by Matthew Gravel. The Master Horse by Sam Dale. The Governor of Glubdubdrib by Ewan Bailey. Lady Minody by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And Mary by Bethan Walker. Other parts were played by members of the company. Gulliver's Travels was adapted by Matthew Broughton. It was directed by Sam Hoyle and is a BBC Cymru Wales production.
And our classic serial next week is Nicholas Montserrat's The Cruel Sea. Open Book discusses the history and development of the short story from Edgar Allan Poe through Chekhov to Alice Munro. That's in a couple of minutes.
I went to the hospital. On arrival, he stopped breathing and died in my presence.
BBC Radio 4 explores patient safety and medical mistakes.
They actually stated in the letter that the child needed an ACTH test and that the parents had been informed, when in fact we hadn't. I was really angry at that stage, but I still wanted to give the doctors the benefit of the doubt.
Examining how greater transparency can benefit both patients and hospitals alike.
I told Robbie on his deathbed that I found out what went wrong.
Doctor, tell me the truth. Tomorrow evening at 8:00.